Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live, and it's a very, very good Friday edition. We've got two great authors and men of faith here with us for both hours today. Second hour, Dr. John Cutterback from Christendom College will be here, and we're going to talk about living a good life with – that's really what Dr. Cutterback has devoted himself to, is helping young people in particular as a professor at Christendom College, but all of us, to think about living a good life, living the life that God intends for us, and we will do that as we wrap up the week. I think today is probably a great day for talking about living in peace, and that's what we're going to do in the first hour. Maybe you found your peace disturbed in recent days, weeks, months, years, decades. Maybe you've given up on finding peace. Would you like some help in finding peace? Maybe you'd like to talk to a priest about all of this. That's what our show this hour offers, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest literally wrote the book on peace. It's called Living in Peace, and he's got a new book coming out this spring from our own Catholic Answers Press called Real Religion. In addition to being a prolific writer, he's also a missionary of mercy and the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina, Father Jeffrey Kirby. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate being on the show.
Any of your parishioners experiencing any, disturbances of their peace or in recent years, or is everything perfectly peaceful in South Carolina?
No, I think my parishioners, I have about 1,000 families in my parish. I think that my parishioners are experiencing what we see across our country with this pandemic, and in particular, some of the continuing side effects of the lockdown. Some months ago. So you can take your pick in terms of, marital problems in the extreme, domestic violence, child abuse, depression, regression to alcoholism and drug addiction or abuse of prescription drugs. Just the list goes on. It is a challenging time for everyone. In fact, I've shared with my parish from the pulpit that I have experienced more pastoral issues, emergency, urgent pastoral situations in the last 8 to 9 months than I have in the last almost 14 years of my priesthood.
Wow, that's extraordinary. That's an extraordinary statement and a disturbing one. But you haven't given up on peace at all. You're committed to the idea that it is in fact possible to have peace in this life.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful, Sai, that you asked the first question first, because, I don't want anybody to think that this is Pollyanna, some type of Pollyannaism or misplaced positivism or optimism. No, we live in a fallen world, and there's real hardship. But as Christians, we know that our peace comes from above. It's a divine gift. The fact that we claim and continue to labor and fight for peace is real. We roll up our sleeves. We're in the trenches. We are knocked down and hurt just as anyone else. But as Christians, we know that there's a gift given to us that nothing in this world can take from us, and that's the gift of peace.
So, nothing in this world can take from us. And, you know, Jesus says about peace, I give not as the world gives. We understand that peace to be conferred on us somewhere. So where do we go? Gimme, I want. Yeah. Give me that.
Exactly. So first, exactly. And when the Lord distinguishes both, but I've come to give you peace, but then yet I do not give you a peace of this world. That distinction is so important, because by peace, we do not mean that everything is always going to go the way we want.
Yeah.
Things will always go smoothly, or there'll always be feelings of euphoria. And so on. No, it's a fallen world. In fact, we know that if we're going to accept the gift of peace, we know in a fallen world that will involve suffering. The peace that the Lord gives, we know, is a divine gift. And how do we get that, or how do we hold on to it? Because we can surrender it. We can allow things to eclipse or take it from us. But, we give that permission of itself. That peace cannot be taken, again, unless we surrender it. So how do we strengthen ourselves? Well, if it's a divine gift, then the task is to draw closer to God. He's the one who bestows the gift, we draw closer to him. So principally through the sacraments, but also through prayer, the study of the scriptures, through selfless service in Christ's name, through holy fellowship with other believers, by sharing the sorrows and the woes, of this age. I love in the funeral mass, we even pray. We say that, as sorrow weighs heavy on the heart, and then we go on to remind ourselves of the truth of faith, because those sorrows, they weigh heavy on the heart.
Yeah.
And yet through the midst of that, we know this gift is a divine gift. And if we want to hold on to it, persevere in it, strengthen it, then we do the things of God. So if someone says, I feel like I'm losing my peace. I feel like, I can't hold on to this. So, well, when was the last time you made a good confession?
Ah, yeah.
Or when was the last time you really tried to just open up your heart and speak spontaneously from your heart, as the psalmist says, from the depths of one's heart, right? And so on. So if we want the gift of God, we have to draw close to God.
Our number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is a pastor, an author, and also a papal missionary of mercy, Father Jeffrey Kirby. If you have questions about the Christian understanding of peace, if you have some, if you are in fact seeking that and struggling in that area, this hour is for you. 888-318-7884. I'll tell you something, Father. Since about the election, I was very concerned about the election, as every single person in America was. I think people all around the world were. After it was over. And then it wasn't over, and I know all that. I pretty much quit watching any television and even listening to radio shows that I usually listen to, because it was disturbing my peace. And now this is what I want to ask you: am I somehow being irresponsible to do that, or are there times where it's just like I gotta get away from this?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. In fact, we see even in the life of our Lord during his public ministry, there were times where he would remove himself from the crowds. Like we hear in various accounts that even the crowd pushes towards him, or they continue to make requests of him. And yet, the Lord absents himself in order to go and to pray, to be in solitude with God the Father. So I see in that we can glean a truth that, while there are times when we have to stay in the fight, if it, duties pertaining to our vocation or responsibilities that we have that are a part of our employment or a profession that we're a part of. In that case, then we have to continue to stay in the fight. But beyond that, there are times in which, for the sake of our own peace, for that desire for greater virtue, we have to remove ourselves. Because I think if anyone just sat and watched the news, you know, all the time throughout the waking day. Like, I think they would just be so distressed and so anxious and so, you know. And I want to just clarify that while peace is a divine gift and nothing can take it from us, we can surrender it.
You know what right, I mean? You know? Right.
So I stress that because I want everyone who's hearing this to know there is no power on this earth that can take the peace that God has given to us. I mean, Maximilian Kolbe, we celebrate his birthday today. Like, he was in Auschwitz, and he did not lose his peace. I cannot imagine a more horrific place on the face of this planet, and yet he was there, and he did not lose his peace. Or Edith Stein, by also in Auschwitz. We can go on. So nothing can take it, but we can surrender it. You know what I mean? So,
yes,
so I think for our sake, we, you know,
I feel like I have many times, actually, you know, surrendered it. And maybe that's one of the skills of life, is learning not to, you know, keep going back to those things that, even if it's just watching the new evening news, where take an evening off. You don't need it all the time. Father Jeff Kirby is our guest. As I said, he's a papal missionary of mercy. If you need some mercy, he's here to help. He's also the pastor of Our Lady of Grace Parish in Indian Land, South Carolina. But he wrote the book, Living in Peace, and that's what we're talking about today. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. I wish I could tell you can pre-order it, but you can't. We're not quite there where we're taking pre-orders for it. But in March, it'll be out. Real Religion, the new book from Father Jeff Kirby at Catholic Answers Press. We got to take a quick break. You go ahead and dial that phone. You need some help with peace in the family. You're having trouble with your own personal peace. You'd like some help. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings, fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends, and pretty soon we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's pretty hard to beat this for a Friday lineup. Second hour, philosopher John Cuddeback will be here with us, and we'll talk about living the good life. What does it mean to live the good life? I mean, life doesn't seem so good for lots of people right now. Perfect time to talk about getting back to basics on that. But another of the basics of Christian life, as a matter of fact, Christ preaches about peace all the time, invokes peace on others, blesses those who are peacemakers themselves and all of that. One of the fundamentals of Christian life is peace, and it is something that seems so disturbed in many Christian people right now. And it's heartbreaking because it's the great gift that Christ wants to bestow on us, and sometimes we just let it slip from our hands because things are difficult or because our culture is a mess. Those are my words, not Father's. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if he doesn't notice that our culture is a mess, we need a new guest this hour, Father Jeffrey Kirby. Father Jeffrey Kirby is our guest. Father, I would say probably, a person with three adult children, I feel like one of the ways that you can possibly have experience constant assaults on your peace is to have children. I mean, that you're it's not just about me, you know, and about what I have, but, you know, once they're babies for the rest of your life, you're worried about do they have what they need? Do they know God loves them? Are they going to forget? Are they going to fall? You know, all that. What do you say to parents struggling with kids who it's hard to have peace when you got kids?
Yes, I say that to parents, stay the course, hold the line. Oftentimes there's particular tension or struggles for peace when, particularly with teenagers, where they're challenging or pushing boundaries, or and I realize for a lot of parents, it could be easier to think to just look the other way, or to just reduce standards, or to not allow or to continue to fight for the formation of virtue in their children. And I would say to them to stay the course. But broad picture, any parent, whether it's with little ones or with teenagers and so on, is to draw close to God. I am so edified when I see parents bring their entire families to confession, whether it's once a month or whether it's quarterly or however they're able to do it. But to really bring the whole family in order to receive the grace of the sacrament, or to see a family together at Mass. I know sometimes that with schedules things have to be split up, but it's so important for families to be together, especially at worship. I also encourage parents, as you're able, I know that there are sports and there's other interests and there's musical things and there's all the other things that children are involved in and that can stretch the family in different directions. But I say, the power of the family meal, having dinner together, even if it's not every day, just a couple times a week where everyone in the family knows it's sacrosanct. Like Thursdays, we eat together no matter what. That means, you're not going to practice tonight, or you're not going for your piano practice. Like, family first. Like, that time is so important, because that relationship with, with the members of the family, especially parents to children, is so essential, in terms of preserving and holding that peace.
888-318-7884, our number. You are welcome to call if you have challenges to your own peace and would like to. And let me tell you, too, you're always welcome, even if you're not a Catholic or Christian, if you would like to have some understanding about why we call Christ the Prince of Peace and why we say that he bestows a peace upon us that the world cannot understand. 888-318-7884. Father Maria in Kansas. Wasn't able to stay on the line, but asked this: is there a possible list of resources or exercises for prayer to ask for peace? I have the desire, but I don't know how when there is so much chaos around me. What might you say to Maria?
Yes, I say, in terms of the chaos or the twists and turns of life in a fallen world, and or because of our own sinful nature, all the above, I'm always encouraged in the scriptures that before the Lord is referred to as the Prince of Peace, he's also addressed as the Mighty Warrior. And I have to imagine that the prophet put Mighty Warrior before Prince of Peace, because almost like letting us know, God is a mighty warrior. Like, he can fight this. He's got this, right? So he is the Mighty Warrior and the Prince of Peace. And I think whatever chaos or struggles we have, we know that we worship a God who's not simply Prince of Peace, but is the Mighty Warrior that helps us to have that peace and to hold that peace that he offers. With that said, in terms of Maria's specific question, and an easy devotion that is known throughout the church that is very easy to pick up if she's not already praying it, I would strongly recommend the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I have found that to be a source of incredible peace, especially when there's a quick flash of struggle or difficulty or shocking news, to just pick up my rosary and pray my chaplet on the rosary. I found that to be incredibly helpful. Also, I would recommend the Stations of the Cross. Ideally, to go to your parish church and actually walk the stations. I know in some places that's not possible, in which case you pray it at home. But actually, even if you pray at the stations at home, like if you can walk, even if you're just walking around your living room, right? Because what I love about the stations with that is it engages our whole body. Like, we're literally on the way, the Stations of the Cross, the Way of the Cross. And I have found just that reflection on the different stations of our Lord's Passion to give me incredible peace, because this is a God who knew suffering and conquered suffering and sorrow from the inside out. And those two devotions I'd recommend, they're popularly known, Divine Mercy Chaplet or Stations of the Cross, but to maybe put that perspective of doing those in order to preserve peace. I would strongly recommend those.
888-318-7884, our number. We're talking about peace. We're talking about the peace, gaining that peace that won't go away in your life. It is not a time of peace in our culture. It's anything but a time of peace in our culture. So we invited Father Jeffrey Kirby to come and talk with us about peace. He wrote a book called Living in Peace, and he's got a new one called Real Religion coming out this spring from Catholic Answers Press. Again, 888-318-7884. Let's go to anonymous caller in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois. Anonymous caller. Can I go to the anonymous caller? I'll tell you what, I'll come right back. We just have a little cross up on the phones. Because I did want to ask you this, Father, I will ask it now instead of waiting till after this caller. It's hard to have peace when you live in an atmosphere of injustice. And many people are feeling, rightly or wrongly, that they themselves are experiencing tremendous injustice right now. Sometimes they'll say it like, you know, my pastor closed the church and won't let us go to Mass, and that's an injustice, or the government has shut things down. But even if they're not saying that it's personal injustice towards them, many people are very upset about, you know, the gross injustices of our time against immigrants. There's racial injustice, and there's the massive injustice of widespread resort to abortion. So I think this is what disturbs people's peace very much now, is this sense of being offended at injustices done against me, maybe, but also very upset at the general acceptance of injustice in our world.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in fact, whenever, you know, myself, when I'm reflecting on that or you know, allowing myself spiritually to be aware of that injustice, or people, you know, ask questions, you know, how do I find that peace, as you're describing, in the midst of, you know, this injustice? You know, I always go back to the end of the Lord's Prayer. You know, with the Lord's, you know, of course, we pray to be preserved from temptation, but also to be delivered from evil. And that second part of that petition, so protect ourselves personally from temptation, but then also protect us from, you know, the evil of the world, or some translations would read the evil one, you know, the prince of the fallen world. But I go to that last part of the Lord's Prayer because even as the Lord was teaching us to pray, he was acknowledging, like, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dark stuff, and there's a lot, I mean, you know, he's teaching this prayer to the original listeners who are literally occupied by a foreign Gentile power. And he's acknowledging that in our day, the Lord is acknowledging that, and he's teaching us, you know, the principal way is through prayer. I think it's powerful that Mother Church in the liturgy runs with that petition and adds the additional prayer, you know, deliver us from every evil and allow us to persevere, give us this joy as we wait in joyful, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, for that blessed hope of his return. So I think that in terms of a spiritual response, it's prayer, the realization that the trials of this world, you know, pious tradition says that the valley of tears, that as this, you know, continues and as we walk through it, this leads us, it's the proving ground in order to prepare us for eternal beatitude. And I think that hope of heaven cannot be underestimated nor forgotten. I think that, you know, with that hope, it allows us to realize this evil or this injustice or these struggles, however long standing they might be, or however, you know, temporally in this world I am powerless to overcome them, spiritually in terms of the power of our soul and that gift of peace, you know, these injustices do not win, right? I think it's very powerful. I can go back to the example of Father Maximilian Kolbe, who's I have a very strong devotion to. You know, he never saw the victory of his acts of charity in this world.
Right.
You know, it was only an eternal life that he saw and knew, right? And we, the believers, we rejoice because we get to see a glimpse of that victory. So I think when we feel like we are yoked by injustice and we feel powerless in this world to overcome them, we cannot believe or falsely acknowledge or think that we don't have any power, because actually we have the greatest of powers, you know, like, yeah. Because we have the spiritual power. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, like, we don't battle the things of this world. We battle the supernatural. The powers and dominions of the dark world and the fallenness around us. So I think that, nurturing and fueling that sense of hope, that theological, powerful virtue of hope in eternal life by praying and by acknowledging, as evil as this is, and however the reality might be, that I might never see it overthrown in this life, in my life.
Yeah.
I know that this evil or this injustice does not win.
We can go to Anonymous now in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois. Anonymous, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Father Jeffrey, good evening.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. My question is, how can you find peace, or how can I find peace if I try all my life, and I'm not going to lie, I've tried all my life to be a good woman, to be a good daughter, to be a good sister, to be a good person in general, to be a good worker, to be a good Catholic. I've tried with all my heart. When I compare myself to others, I see myself, maybe I shouldn't have, but I've done it. When I compare myself to others, I see myself trying even harder than other people, trying to be a better person every day. But when I see my family life, and when I said my family life from my parents to my grandchildren, all our lives are falling apart.
Addictions, divorces,
right. Resentments, situations illnesses. How can I find peace in situations like this?
All right, thank you.
So that's a great question. And if I can maybe start with clarifying just a little bit in terms of when we speak of peace in the full biblical sense, we can summarize it as the tranquility of order, which means in our life we try to have a right relationship with God, a right relationship with our neighbor, with ourselves, with creation. And you've described your efforts throughout your life to have that peace. Now, just because we have that peace doesn't mean that everything in our life or the life of our loved ones will go smoothly. In fact, oftentimes they will not.
Father, we got to conclude this answer on the other side. Anonymous, please hold on. I'd love you to get Father's full answer. We're talking about finding peace with Father Jeffrey Kirby. We'll continue that right after this break on Catholic Answers Live.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. to order your copy of Light and Leaven. Visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest this hour is Father Jeffrey Kirby, who wrote the book Living in Peace, and he's got a brand new book called Real Religion coming out here at Catholic Answers Press. And we're talking about peace. We're talking about living in peace. And if you'd like some help in that regard, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We have an anonymous caller on the line talking about how she's struggled all her life to do what the church teaches, to live in friendship with God and do all of that. And now she's a grandmother, and she finds with her own children and grandchildren all kinds of troubles and struggles and addictions and problems, and does not feel that that all of that that she's worked for in her life has brought about peace. Father, I'm so sorry we had to interrupt you in the midst of your answer, but go ahead and continue with what you were saying to Anonymous.
Yes, I was summarizing the first part, just that, you know, from the scriptures we could summarize peace as the tranquility of order, different relationships we have in life, so with God, our neighbor, ourselves, creation. And oftentimes when we have the gift of peace and we're doing the right things, that does not necessarily mean that everything then in our lives, the lives of our loved ones, will go smoothly. So, you know, I can understand the person who says, well, if I do all this stuff and I have peace, then that means that it should flow throughout the lives of my family members and children and grandchildren, and they should have peace. And I wish it worked like that for all of us. but oftentimes what I have found pastorally is that the person who has preserved peace, God will allow them to be placed. So we know St. Paul tells us in Ephesians that every family receives its name from the heavens, that God will allow that person to be placed precisely in families with chaos and difficulty, so that they can be the witness to peace. I enjoy the spiritual writers. St. John of the Cross tells us, where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. So oftentimes, the Lord will call us to be salt, light, and leaven. That means he puts us in places of darkness or staleness or flatness. And oftentimes, it's because we have that peace that we can be that instrument of love and mercy and peace to our loved ones. So I don't want anyone to think, well, because my family doesn't have peace or that hasn't flowed into their lives, then have I done something wrong or is the promise lacking that has been given by the Lord? And I want to give assurance that nothing is lacking in the promise of our Lord. And oftentimes we can do things as well as any fallen human being can do. And that doesn't mean that that peace will flow into the lives of our loved ones.
Anonymous, I hope that's helpful to you. I'm going to leave it there just because the lines are quite full now all of a sudden, and there are lots of people who would like to talk about peace. That's what we're talking about right now, Living in Peace, with the author of the book Living in Peace, Father Jeffrey Kirby. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Another anonymous caller on the line. Anonymous, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, you sound like you might be involved in some youth. Are you a young caller?
Yes.
How old are you?
11.
11. We're so happy to have your call. Thank you for picking up the phone and calling. Go ahead and ask Father Kirby your question.
We have a large family, and we fight a lot, so I was wondering, how can we gain peace?
Oh, God bless you.
That's great. So, first, I want to start with something that might surprise you, that sometimes fighting is not necessarily a bad thing. So oftentimes, if you know there are arguments or fights in families, it could be that things are being worked out. So sometimes that could actually be a healthy thing, that we see that families are trying to work things out, and if sometimes voices are raised or people get upset, that's not a bad thing. And it doesn't mean that peace has been lost, right? Because, peace doesn't mean that everything is always smooth or quiet or passive. Peace means that we have, a proper disposition of heart, right? So we desire this right relationship. So first, I just want to acknowledge sometimes fighting isn't necessarily bad. But let's say in situations where fights can be bad or hurtful, you know, or they go on for a really long time. Like, how do we find peace there? Well, in Acts chapter 3, we hear this great story about a beggar who asked St. Peter and St. John for gold and silver. And St. Peter responds, he says, you know, silver and gold I do not have. You know, he works for the church, right? He doesn't have a lot of money. So he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. Now, an important lesson from that is we cannot give what we do not have, right? So if we find that our peace is lacking, right, then what do we need? Well, we turn to the source of all peace. We turn to God. And a lot of times it means that if we want that peace back, it means we have to go and make a good confession. So some of the practical things we can do is go to confession, ask for that gift of peace and mercy. Sometimes too at home, it could be important that, you know, when something is said, maybe there's a pause before something is responded to, right? So someone's getting upset, so why don't we wait for a little bit and talk later, and so on. So there can be some practical, you know, approaches as well. But the big one is we can't give what we don't have. And if we've lost our peace, we've given it away, or something has distracted us, and then the way that we get that peace back, the way we kind of, you know, reconnect, is by a good confession and by drawing close to God. So those are some quick answers to your question, and I hope that's helpful.
Okay, Anonymous?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're very grateful for your call. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. We've got a question about peace, got a question about living in peace. You'd like to talk to a priest about that. Father Jeffrey Kirby is here with us. He wrote the book Living in Peace, and you're welcome to talk with him, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Grace in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Grace, thanks so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to.
My daughter and I used to be really close. People used to tease us that we were like twins. And when she reached approximately 16 years of age, she was diagnosed with mental illness. And then she got into drugs. Mm. And there was a rapid downhill slide. She had a child. And the living conditions were really bad. So I had to step in. I was raising my granddaughter. She got pregnant again. And I filed through the courts to try to get custody. Without going into detail, that did not turn out well. I ended up dropping the case because I was trying to get reconciliation between us. I was wanting to, I had offered to pay for family counseling.
Grace,
try to get her back on her feet.
Grace, I always want to interrupt you because I think I know where we're headed, and I want to get there so that Father can answer you before I have to go to another break. This is an awful, painful situation with your daughter, and there is no reconciliation at the moment, it sounds like. So I'm gathering you're asking, how do you find peace in that kind of situation? Is that right, Grace?
Yes. We live 10 miles apart. We haven't seen each other. We haven't run into each other in all this time. And this afternoon we ran into each other, and it was a terrible.
Oh, Grace, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to hear that. Father, I'm just going to leave it to you, Father. Go ahead.
Yes, I think, Grace, you've done, it sounds, everything possible to both, you know, extend the olive branch of reconciliation to your daughter, to provide, you know, a safe and nurturing environment for your grandchildren. In the midst of that right now, your daughter, either because of her mental illness or, you know, the choice of life that she's making, sounds like she just can't see what you're trying to do. So there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of hurt, a lot of confusion. Unfortunately, it's probably going to take time for that cloud of confusion to dissipate, to fade away. In the interim, in order for you to keep your peace, I would recommend that you just, again, draw closer to God, offer prayers of supplication for your daughter, Something that oftentimes is forgotten in our tradition, but very powerful, is fasting. You know, however, in whatever form, this could be just giving up desserts or giving up something small. It doesn't have to be extensive, but to really pray and fast for the conversion of your daughter. And as you do that, emotionally, as best you can, to redirect your emotional energy to the well-being of your grandchildren and to your own health. You know, oftentimes when there's this type of confusion and anxiety, you know, the person just absorbs it all. And then what happens is they can cause great harm to themselves. They end up responding to other loved ones in ways that they, you know, are not happy with, ways that certainly God does not ask us to. So for yourself, Grace, I would say that, you know, give your daughter to the Lord as best you can, pray and fast for her, and redirect your attention to the task at hand, to the important task of helping with your grandchildren. I know how difficult that is, but I would encourage you with that in order to preserve and keep your own sense of peace.
Grace, thank you. I do hope that that was helpful. We're talking about living in peace with Father Jeffrey Kirby, who wrote the book Living in Peace. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884 and talk with Father Kirby. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hey, in addition to this show that we're doing today for our Friday afternoon, where John Cutteback will be here next hour, philosopher John Cutteback will be here to talk about living the good life. And this hour we have, as you can hear, a very, very fine guest, Father Jeffrey Kirby, here to talk about to us about living in peace. In addition to doing that, we know it's tough times, and we thought maybe people would like to get back to the basics. We're doing a lot of things to help people get back to the basics after a very tough year, one in which many people were cut off in profound ways from the sacraments. So right now, we're giving away free one of the most popular books that's ever been published by Catholic Answers, Why We're Catholic. There's over 200,000 copies in print. We're not giving away the print edition for free, but you can have an ebook version of it. Just go to shop.catholic.com and get your free copy, ebook copy of Why We're Catholic. Maybe get some reading in and recenter. Find a reconnection to that Catholic faith that for many of us, and I got to say I'm one of them, I really miss normal parish life and all that. I miss it not just like, oh, I miss that, but miss it like I feel it in my spiritual life. And so have needed many helps, and we'd like to put some helps out there for you. Our number is 888-318-7884. As I said, our guest is Father Jeffrey Kirby, and we're talking about peace. If you're struggling with peace in your life, if there's someone you would like to help to find peace, or if you would like to talk with us about the general Christian understanding of peace, what do we mean by the peace that Christ offers and living in that peace, you're welcome to call, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Up next on the line is Catherine in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM there in Houston. Catherine, delighted to have you. Go ahead with your question for Father Jeffrey Kirby.
Well, I'm going to preface the question with a moment of peace because I am tickled that the Holy Spirit has given me a chance to say thank you, and then I'll follow that with the question. Just yesterday, I received a text from a friend, and the text just had a YouTube address, so I clicked on it and opened it, and it was a homily from a priest. And it was a homily that invoked Beckett and St. Thomas More, and it was very forthright. And come to find out, this wonderful priest was Father Kirby.
And I'm glad.
He was not political. Yes, he was not political, but he was strident, and he was outspoken, and he was very clear, and he taught, and he shepherded, and he warned about, you know, the coming things that could happen in our future, and religious freedom, and our need to stay close to the sacraments, and our need to recognize our own roles as Catholics and citizens and everything else. And it gave me such peace.
Oh, what a wonderful testament to a great priest, Father Kirby. Good for you. I'm so glad it was Father Kirby, because what if it was some crazy priest that we don't talk about on the air? I'm so glad that it was you, Father Kirby. Catherine, that's really nice.
God bless you, Catherine.
I have two of his books. I have two of his books on my bookshelf.
And now you're going to read
them. One of them is Living the Beatitudes. I already have. So I was delighted to know. But my question is, how can we encourage our own parish priests to feel the conviction to be able to just speak clearly, teach clearly, and stand with us and encourage people?
Yes, that's a great question, Catherine. And I think that one thing I'd like to start with that is you know, one area that a lot of parishioners, you know, may not be aware of or not fully understand is, you know, how much really are on the plates of priests right now. You know, I was very surprised when I became a parish priest to realize that not only did I have the care of the sacraments and preaching the word of God, but it was basically running my own small business. So things with operations or human resources or fiscal management, things I'd never been trained on, you know, and didn't fully understand it. So, of course, trying to find the right advisors among the parishioners who are skilled in these areas and yet have a theological worldview and so on. And I just mention those things because sometimes parishioners don't realize how much is really on the mind and the heart of the priest. I hope many spiritual things. But there are also some just really practical things like the septic tanks broken, the toilets overflowing, the landscapers quit and we have to find someone to mow the grass. And I mean, it's just, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I'm convinced that God has so structured the priesthood in such a way in order to remind the priest that he is never enough. And it causes a certain humility in the life of the priest, right? Now, with that said, I hope that the best way you could probably help your priest is by encouragement, affirmation, and strong prayer. We see throughout the New Testament the call to pray for our shepherds. I pray for my bishop, not simply at the Mass, but throughout the day, like when I pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Like, you know, I don't agree with everything, but I realize he's the bishop. He must know better than I do. And so I try to pray for him and offer support and encouragement, and so on. I think that parishioners to their pastors, that's the greatest grace you can give them, you know, because trust me, they're getting a lot of, you're not doing it right. Who are you? You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. People have gotten in the habit of telling priests that they're terrible priests, which that's like telling a mother she's a terrible mother. Like, that's terrible. How can you say that? Right? It's just demoralizing, right? So, Catherine, I would say just realize how much attack, spiritual and earthly, your priest is going through. And I would say affirmation, kindness. And then by establishing that relationship of affirmation, kindness, you know, then saying, you know, Father, how can we help? Or, you know, sending resources or things that might help him. So big picture, just realize how much is going on. And then I would say don't let your first cold email or, you know, out of the blue email be, why aren't you doing this right? I would say develop a spiritual friendship and intercession for him, and then affirm all the things he's doing right. You know, Father, I'm so glad that you're doing this or you've done that. And then as the rapport is established, then say, you know, Father, can I suggest or have you seen this resource? I think if you do that, you will find an open heart. Priests, you know, the vast majority of men become priests because, you know, of course, they're responding to a call and because they do want to help people to know and to encounter the living God. So I hope that helps a little bit, Catherine.
Oh, amen. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for such high praise for Father Kirby too. To start off, that's a beautiful example of what Father Kirby said to do. I just love it. Thank you very much. Our number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father Kirby has a new book that's coming out. If you'd like to get it, you're going to have to wait maybe a month before the pre-orders will start, but you can look for it at shop.catholic.com. It's called Real Religion. It's from Catholic Answers Press. It should be out and ready to go before we change the clocks, I think. So do look for it. We're talking about living in peace, and he also has a book called Living in Peace. As I said, you're welcome to call if you have questions about living in peace, 888-318-7884. I was contemplating your book, Living in Peace, Father, and some of the things you say in there. And I want to ask you this, if you could say something about how much our peace is disturbed when we live kind of completely within the circle of this world, and we forget that our life is not ultimately here in this, you know, we had to open up our horizon to the eternal. That's where we belong. And that's where, you know, the fullness of peace and everything else will be.
Absolutely. In fact, this is what happens. The spiritual masters have actually traced this for us, that, you know, when we live only in this world and we have no supernatural perspective, no theological worldview, then what happens, we could say more broadly, a life of prayer. Like if we don't have any of that, then what happens is the disappointments of this world will lead to desolation. And then the desolation will lead to despair, where eventually we think nothing matters, nothing has purpose, why even try, right? And that's what happens when we try to live a life that is completely without God or the help of His grace.
Again, 888-318-7884. I suppose that might go for societies as well as for individuals.
Amen. And we've seen it historically. Yes.
It's just such a disturbing time, and I don't know. We live in this era of so many gifts, you know, like you have so much material and scientific and technological good all around you, and we just seem not to be able to be good in it.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, science. Right now in my parish, I'm doing a Bible study on Genesis, and you look at the early line of Cain, you know, so after the expulsion from the garden, and all of the technological blessings are on the line of Cain. I mean, like, God just pours out all these blessings, you know, this discovery of tools and ironwork and so on, all these things, and yet it's from the line of Cain that we have massive depravity and evil. And you would think that, you know, God gives these blessings in order to show us and remind us how much He cares for us so that we would draw closer to Him.
Right.
So I think if we're not careful, if we don't keep the right perspective, what's meant to be blessings and helps actually become curses and oftentimes self-curses.
Again, 888-318-7884. The number up next is Paula in Minot, North Dakota. Well, did I pronounce that correctly, Paula?
Minot, North Dakota.
Oh, come on now. I should have known that. I've heard that pronounced so many times, and I just, it's,
oh.
Now my peace is disturbed for the rest of my weekend. But, all right, go ahead, Paula, with your question.
I would just like to make a comment or a recommendation to Catherine, the previous caller, to look into the Seven Sisters Apostolate Group for praying for peace and for your priest. And again, their mission is committed to prayerful support toward a parish pastor through the assurance of offering at least one holy hour every day of any given week for the pastor alone. They call it a holy wasting, as it were, for the conversion and holiness of that particular priest. I just read it from the booklet. I only joined about 4 months ago, but I just do find peace and want to spend more and more time in church and quiet prayer throughout the week. And my 1 hour on Fridays is for the Seven Sisters Apostolate. And then I go back in the week for other needs that I have.
You know, Paul, if I can say, first of all, thank you for recommending that, or more broadly, any program or devotion that prays for priests, first and foremost for the spiritual health of the Catholic priesthood. But also we know that the priest in the parish, the spiritual masters, again, observe this, that if the priest is at 100%, the faithful are at 80%. If he's at 80, the faithful are at 60, and it goes on and on. So in order for the priest to really be the shining example that he's called and has the grace to be, and for the people to be at 100%, the priest has to be at 120%, right? You know, like,
right.
And that's something that by our fallen nature we can't do. That's the grace of the sacrament, and that the fanning of that grace in the flame depends on the prayers and the fasting and the sacrifices of the people of God for their priests. So that I thank you very much for recommending that.
Yes, and again, it's called the Seven Sisters Apostolate.
Kind of started in the Midwest, and it's spreading from there. Is that right, Paula?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. This is another thing about being living too much within the circle of this world and not the next. I think we always want some kind of program or process or something, and I don't know. I suppose, Father, we don't put enough faith in the basic things that Christ gave us, like you said, praying and fasting.
Amen. Amen. When we realize that everything we need has been given to us, and we've been even blessed with the time in order to unpackage and integrate and use what the Lord has given to us, there's a profound sense of gratitude and humility, as well as confidence. Like, we have everything we need, right? To live this way of life, to have the peace and hold that peace that He gives us. We have everything that we need. He has given us all that we need.
My problem with fasting is I just get so hungry, but I would do it. Otherwise, I would do it a lot more. Father Jeffrey Kirby, may we have your blessing before we go?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon your servants. May you always open their ears and their hearts to your word, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Father Jeffrey Kirby has been our guest. You can find the book Living in Peace wherever good Catholic books are sold. And very soon here at Catholic Answers, the brand new book will come out called Real Religion. Again, Father Jeffrey Kirby, it's always such a pleasure to get to talk with you. Thank you for doing this hour with us.
Likewise, sir. Thank you.
Peace be with you, Father.
Thank you.
Coming up next, John Cuddeback, philosopher John Cuddeback, and we're going to talk about living the good life. As a matter of fact, crafting a good life, how to craft a life the way God, the carpenter, Jesus would craft a life. We'll do that right after this.